Live from New York, it's Jeremy Warner. Welcome in to the Atlanta Enquirer podcast. I'm here in Queens, right across the river from Manhattan, where I was this morning to catch up with Keaton Wagler, who is going through all his pre-draft activities, getting ready for the biggest night of his life, where Keaton Wagler will likely become the third Illini in the modern era. I'd make that the NBA-ABA merger in 1976, but really the third one since the 1960s to be a top 10 NBA draft pick. Barring a big surprise, Keaton Wagler expected to go somewhere between 5 and 10. He sounds pretty confident it's going to be in the higher end of that, but you never know until you get to draft night. But we are going to talk about it with one of the other former top 10 NBA draft picks in Illini history, Kendall Gill, the number 5 pick in the 1990 NBA draft to the Charlotte Hornets, and a former Illini All-American, Illini great, helped lead him to the Final Four in 1989. Kendall Gill, kind enough to join us to talk about what it's like to be an Illini player who gets the NBA draft in New York City and has that moment, what that's like with him and his family, what that's like to start your career, and what it's like with all these other prospects you kind of grew up playing with. So it was really fun to catch up with Kendall Gill. He talks about Keaton's game, why he thinks it translates to the NBA, why he thinks he'll have success. Kylan Boswell, if he thinks he can find a way to latch on to an NBA team. Then we talk a little bit about the Chicago Bulls, who have some hope for the first time in a while after getting some lottery luck, getting up to the number 4 pick and what many consider a 4-person top of the draft. Likely Caleb Wilson, but obviously Cam Boozer, AJ DeBonta, Darren Peterson in that mix as well. So the Bulls with a chance at a top talent and then a chance at another talent at number 15 in the draft. We also talk to Kendall a little bit about Dusty May leaving Michigan for the Dallas Mavericks. We'll probably dive into that in our next podcast a little bit more with Kyle Tosk, either on Tuesday night or Wednesday, to react to where Keaton Wagler's destination is. And we'll talk about the impact of Dusty May leaving. I don't blame Dusty May. He won a national championship. That's the goal. You really can't do much more than that unless you just want to do a dynasty. And not only did he get an NBA job, he got a pretty good one with the Dallas Mavericks, a pretty good franchise. And I know they had their issue trading Luka there, but they got Cooper Flagg on that team. So if you're going to go to the NBA, make that jump. You go to where you can have a franchise star, and Cooper Flagg certainly looks like he will be that. And if it doesn't work in the NBA, Dusty May's young enough, he'll have a chance to get back. But for Michigan, obviously, some chaos here. They've had two of their last three coaches go to the NBA and have had a lot of success there. But with Juwan going up and down and then now having a head coach opening, pretty crazy. The roller coaster Michigan fans have been on, a great program, one of the best programs in the Big Ten during the last 15, 20 years. But it's been some wild twists with their coaches being so good that they get to the NBA. At least two of the last three have been. So their players could enter the portal. Are they going to go anywhere? Is there anybody better in Michigan right now? It sounds like Mike Boynton will be the interim coach, and then they'll go do a full process in the offseason, which makes sense to me. Billy Donovan probably in a good spot this offseason because there are going to be some pretty big jobs. Like, will Florida open? Because Todd Golden want to go to the NBA. John Shire, does he want to go to the NBA? So some initial thoughts from me on Dusty May to Michigan. We'll also talk a little bit about some football recruiting things with Brody Knowles committing to Illinois. But I do want to chat and just sit here for a moment before we get Kendall on about Keaton Wagler and the unlikely and the unexpected path to this moment where he's in New York City right now getting ready to go to the Barclays Center on Tuesday for the first round of the NBA draft. Wednesday will be the second round where Kylan Boswell hopes to hear his name called. But he's going to walk across that stage as a likely top 10 NBA draft pick. And of everybody there that's going to do that, he is the biggest surprise, right? Like, this was always his dream. His dream was to eventually get here. But even Keaton's parents, who I caught up with today, and we'll do a big story on that, Logan and Jen, done a fantastic job raising Keaton, obviously. But even they are kind of like, wow, we hope to get here, but we didn't expect to be here so fast. And Keaton kind of said the same thing. Like, even he didn't expect that. Illinois didn't expect that. So the fact that he got here quicker than expected, and surprisingly, given where he was recruited, most of these guys that are going to get drafted in the top 10 tomorrow were five-star prospects. Keaton Wagler was number 261 in the composite rankings. right? So he's a rarity. Like, there aren't many stories like this. Yaxel Lundborg, I know people don't like him. He's a little strange. He's a hell of a player. I know he's 24 years old. So was Terrence Shannon. I guess he was 23. Yax was, but he's still a hell of a player, right? And that's an unlikely, interesting story to get to this point. But Keaton is a one and done as the skinny kid from Shawnee, Kansas. You just don't see this very often. That's what makes this path really, really special. But he always had belief in himself that he was good enough to do this. He bet on himself by not, you know, going to a bigger prep school and sitting in the corner and shooting threes, by not going to a bigger AAU program and doing the same thing. He trusted his AAU coach, Victor Williams, to let him have the ball in his hands at a younger age, play up a level, and that helped his development, sped up his development as a playmaker and an on-ball creator. And that's part of what led him to here today. Being in a basketball family where I think he said today three or four generations have played at Hutchinson Community College, including his siblings, his older siblings. He got to watch them go through the ringer with all that. It's just his parents were Hutchinson Community College basketball players. That's where they met his grandparents. Like, he grew up in a basketball family that kind of incubated all of this, right? That they think the game at a high level, his dad's a coach, all of it. And then just the life environment. Like, there's a family with its head on straight, right? And that clearly is passed on to Keaton. So there's definitely nurture there. And then there's just nature. Like, his parents are more like, wow, this is big right now than Keaton is. Keaton talking to him today, it's just even keel, cool. Yeah, this is awesome. But it's just like, this is part of the process for him. So it's an amazing story and why I wanted to come here. Because one, it's not that often that Illinois has top 10 NBA draft picks. I've never covered the NBA draft. Derek Piper did last year with Will Riley and Kasper Siakashonis, the first two one and dones. We wanted to mark that moment and be there for that moment. But I want to be here because this is one of the most special stories that we've seen at Illinois. And I thought we'd cover it longer, right? I thought we'd cover Keaton Wagler's career longer, even when he started to ascend this year. But he ascended so quickly and so well that I was like, no, you got to go. Like, there were moments Keaton said that he was 50-50 making this decision. You cannot pass on the opportunity to be a top 10 pick. And it sounds more and more like they think it'll be 5, 6, 7, somewhere like that. So you just can't pass on that, and he's earned this spot. So really cool about a story about believing in himself. And, of course, the Illinois staff has to take a bow and has to take some credit here too. They evaluated him. It's them in Minnesota that believed in this kid, that he could be a high major impact guard. And not only they believe in him, but once they saw in practice that he could make these decisions, make these plays, and you know, beat Kylan Boswell, an all Big Ten defensive player, like he did, they trusted him. They put the ball in his hands when the offense was kind of stagnant after that UConn game, and they kept trusting him. And Keaton obviously deserved that trust as the season went along, but it led to phenomenal moments. So what a marriage it was, even if it was a shorter marriage than they expected at the college level. But he's going to be he's already done some big things for Illinois, right? Is the program leading him to a Final Four, being an All-American, getting the jersey lifted to the rafters the next time he's at the State Farm Center, but also he allows you to go to Stephon Vaux and see what he did. Like, you can have the keys to the offense next year. Quentin Coleman, like, yeah, you see the development we had there, and with Io DeSumo, and with Terrence Shannon, and with Will Riley, and Kasper Siakashonis. It's becoming an NBA factory again. And I chat about that with Kendall Gill, so we'll talk about that a little bit more. But before we get to Kendall, we do got to chat about a heck of a week for one Mr. Justin Stepp, the Illinois wide receivers coach. On Tuesday, last Tuesday, lands Bennett Conkey. We talked all about it on the podcast last week. They get Bennett Conkey, speedster, something different that they haven't had, 10.39 100-meter dash at state championships, a 10.25 100-meter dash, wind-aided. That's just what we've all called SEC speed, right? That's NFL speed that Illinois just hasn't had at that position, I think, since A.J. Jenkins. Well, now you beat all those Big Ten schools for Bennett Conkey. Iowa wanted him. Indiana, Wisconsin were supposed to get him on an official visit. Northwestern really, really pushed hard for him, made him a top priority. Illinois was able to keep him, right? What a huge get. And then he followed up with Brody Knowles, who has been really him and Bryson Thrower, who committed to Texas over Illinois. It was a two-team battle there, and Illinois only lost out to Texas there. Justin Stepp goes and wins a battle against TCU for a Texas kid. He was 35 minutes from TCU. TCU pushed hard. They landed another kid last week, and Braden Deal, and that made a big deal in this recruitment because I think it just gave Illinois an opportunity to sell that, hey, we're making you a bigger priority. TCU's already got two wide receiver commits. We've only taken one because you are a top guy for us. You are a priority for us. And I'll be honest, a lot of people last week at this point thought TCU was going to get him, but Illinois continued, Justin Stepp continued to prioritize him, and they held on since their April official visit to land, again, just a unique player, a different flavor to their wide receiver room that is becoming one of the big bright spots and has been a big bright spot of this program for the last couple of years. But Brody is 6'5", pretty fast, really fluid athlete, comes from an athletic family. His dad was a tennis star, Mark Knowles, won grand slams as a doubles tennis player. So one of the best tennis players in the world. His brother, Graham, is a quarterback at Georgia Tech. So you see, like, this is an athletic family. He moves great on the field, just really acrobatic in space. But again, this is something Illinois doesn't have right now. Like, Brody's a little bit different than body-wise, he's similar to Ashton Hollins, right? He was 6'5", and we could all see it on the field, just kind of glider, right? Could use his hands and shield off defenders and just win those jump balls. So there was those flashes from Ashton, but he was really raw, Ashton was, because he was a quarterback in high school. Didn't play wide receiver until he came to Illinois. Now Brody's been playing wide receiver at one of the best schools in Texas, South Lake Carroll, for several years here, right? He's a good basketball player, looks like a basketball player on the football field, but he's more refined. He's more fluid. He just knows a little bit more how to do it. So he comes in with a higher four than Ashton Hollins. He's not as big and strong as what Justin Bowick or Alex Perry will be this year. Obviously, those guys are 4 or 5 years down the development line when they get to Illinois. So he's not that quite strong, but I think he's a little bit more fluid and quick of an athlete. So to add two different pieces like this, a 6'5" guy who can go up, jump ball winner, kind of reminds you, I'm just saying glimpses. I'm not saying he's these guys, but like an Alec Pierce, Jacoby Lane at USC last year, gives you that kind of flavor to the wide receiver room. And then you add elite speed, like NFL speed and Ben Okonkwo, to a wide receiver room that already has Braden Trimble, kind of reminds you of Zachary Franklin, just fluid, smooth, really quick in and out of his breaks. I think he's a little bit better, quicker than Zachary was. Obviously, has a ways to go in his development, but he's going to make an impact this next year and definitely down the line. And then Naz Rankin, explosive, kind of a big, bigger slot receiver, gives you a physical dynamic where in the open field he can make plays, but does have the speed to run away from you. And you get a Kenyon Alston, who's 6'2", about 195, 200 pounds, kind of reminds you of Pat Bryant physically and just has that kind of versatility to his game. And then you add guys like Davon Grant, 6'4", 210, probably get up to 230 if you really wanted to, 240 if you want to move him to tight end, but kind of that hybrid, kind of small forward kind of player, maybe a little bit more similar to Justin Bullock type. That's a really interesting, talented, and just really diversified skill set in your wide receiver room. So Justin Stepp deserves to take a bow after this week, but this wide receiver group, like, this was one of the biggest weaknesses of the program, right? Not to disparage, you know, the guys who were there before him, but Illinois had no wide receivers from 2017 to 21 have more than 650 receiving yards in the season, right? You just didn't have the dynamic, consistent guys. Like Josh Amadorbebe made some plays. Like, obviously, Malik Turner and Mike Dudek had some injuries that held them back, some quarterback issues that held Malik back in his senior year. So you had some guys, but just not a lot of depth of talent, not a lot of playmakers in that room. You know, guys like Trenard Davis or Donnie Navarro and Sam Mays, those guys are like the number two wide receiver at times for Illinois. And again, not to disparage those guys, but that you need more in the Big Ten. So now you're building this kind of, you're not wide receiver you, because that's Ohio State, right? But you've had three straight seasons of an all Big Ten wide receiver, Isaiah Williams, Pat Bryant, Hank Beatty. You got Hudson Clement and Colin Dixon coming back this year. You add some good transfers in Jayshon Platt and Alex Perry. You got Braden Trimble that I think is going to make a big impact. You got some of these four-star prospects who are coming in. Wide receiver is one of the strengths of this program right now. And that's a kudos to Barry Loney too, right? His offense of being able to get these guys open, feature them, get the most out of them, but also have the quarterback play to make the most out of these guys it's exciting. The passing game is really exciting at Illinois, and wide receiver outside of DB is probably the biggest strength of position group at Illinois. So think of it, the playmakers, the DBs and wide receivers are really becoming the strength of this team talent-wise. And I think offensive line, they're starting to stack some encouraging talent too. So it's been fun to watch. It's been fun to watch that go from a real weakness to George McDonald getting the most out of Isaiah Williams and Pat Bryan and Casey Washington, guys he inherited, and then adding to the room with guys like Hank Beatty and Colin Dixon, and now you have Justin Stepp upgrading it even further. It's been a fun process to watch. Also, Illinois adds a surprise kicker commit. Anyone have that one coming? I didn't. I didn't know about this one. Illinois kept this one quiet, but Ulysses Morales, he came down to Illinois in Champaign last Tuesday for the specialist camp, impressed Chris Hurd, the Illinois special teams coordinator. They bring him down for an official visit and give him an offer, and he quickly commits. Chris Nendick, who's the private kicking coach for David Alano, that one worked out pretty well for Illinois. He's also the private kicking coach for Ulysses Morales out of Oak Forest, South Suburban Chicago guy. And similar story, soccer player like Alano, spends a year and a half kind of honing his kicking, kind of up and down, but has really turned it on here this last year. And Nendick thinks highly of him, thinks he's got a great leg, but even more importantly, the mindset you need to succeed in the Big Ten. Like, the moment's not too big for him. He seems like he's very bounces back from missed kicks. So just an interesting prospect to add behind Lucas Oceda, who's got two more years of eligibility after this one. Ethan Machowski is done after this year. So you've added two transfers there. Now Illinois adds a freshman in-state kid to see if they can develop him into a difference maker down the line. So just an interesting addition there. But I'm here in New York to talk NBA draft, and we got Kendall Gill, former number 5 overall pick, former Illini great, and a longtime NBA player. He gives us his thoughts on what it's like to be drafted, what it's like to be in New York for the draft, but also Keaton Wagner and Colin Boswell, and what the Bulls should do in the NBA draft as well. Kendall Gill's next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
With the 5th pick in the 1990 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kendall Gill from Illinois. There is Kendall Gill from the University of Illinois, the 5th pick in the 1990 draft. Kendall Gill didn't play in any of the postseason tournaments, but he certainly had himself a good career at the University of Illinois. Some people wonder how his intensity and aggressiveness will be in the NBA, but of course that's always a question with a young man coming out of college. He's 6'4", 190 pounds, averaged 20 points a game for the Illini in the 1989 and 90 season. So Kendall Gill, here's a look, Doug Collins, at his strengths and weaknesses. Maybe not a great outside shooter.
Well, he's going to get better. The one thing I like about this young man, he went to the University of Illinois. He was a skinny kid. He lifted weights. He got stronger. He got better every year. Rick will go through his stats here, but we talk about the progression of a player. Every year this kid got better, and on top of that, his team won. And I think that's one thing. When you're getting in a situation of an expansion team, you want a guy who is a proven winner. I really like this young man.
Well, you say they questioned his shot. You saw pretty good form just watching it right there. Nice follow through running. You see he can go inside. He can come in and get on the boards and do some hard work inside there as well. I mean, he's a fine player, a fine athlete, a guy that with some work, you can go ahead and make him make the transition into a point guard, also play the two. He'll work on the shot, a hard worker. 4 points, 10 points, 15 points, 20 points. Again, that nice upward progression you like.
All right, that's Kendall Gill getting drafted back in 1990, number 5 overall by the Charlotte Hornets. Kendall, as I play that, you see yourself at that age, you see your parents there. What's that like to relive?
Oh, it's great. You know, my parents are much older now. I'm much older now. But, you know, it was an experience for us. And, you know, going to New York where you are right now, you know, and being able to sit in the green room and amongst – you know, all of the great college basketball players, all the other All-Americans and everything, you know, it was just a dream come true. And, you know, those, the one thing about my draft is that, you know, all of us pretty much knew each other because we went to five-star camp. I mean, now they have AAU now, so that's where the players pretty much know each other. But all of the top players were at one camp, and that was at five-star in Pittsburgh. And, you know, it was great to see the guys that attended that camp in the draft with me as well.
What's that moment like for you guys? I mean, you guys are Mm-hmm. Shooting for that your entire life, right? You yeah. work so hard, all the sweat and tears that people don't see. And as you said, like, yeah, Derek Coleman, Gary Payton, Chris Jackson, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf was a phenomenal right. player at Michigan. Like, right. what was that like for you guys to have that moment?
Yeah, I mean, we actually were giddy about it. I mean, everybody was saying, listen, man, can you believe we're here? We started at Howard Garfinkel's camp hot, all of the college coaches around, and now we're here in New York about to get drafted into the NBA. And that's something that, you know, was all of our dream, you know, in college. And, you know, it just came to fruition at that time. But I can tell you, you know, the big glitz and glamour of the draft for me was right in that room, because afterwards I went out with my brother, which is my brother and I. We were sitting out on we were sitting in the Village in New York eating a slice of pizza on the corner. My parents had gone back to the hotel, you know, because they were tired. But my brother and I decided to go out and, you know, hang out in the streets of New York. But we ended up on the corner in Greenwich Village eating a slice of pizza.
I was going to say, it's a little more glitzy for these guys nowadays. I mean, that was early days of getting the NBA draft televised and all that.
No, it was, you know, and, you know, I actually, that same suit that I had on for the draft, I still have it. You know, that was my draft suit. So, you know.
Where you have it? Where you store that?
I in my closet. You know, I never wear it, but I mean, I still, you know, when I pass by the closet and everything and I see it, it reminds me of the draft, you know, part of my history. And, you know, I got that suit from Sid Jerome, downtown Chicago. and Sid Jerome's is still open.
That's awesome. What compelled you to keep it?
Just it was the draft. You know, and how many times are you able to participate in the NBA draft? Just once, you know, and you know, I didn't know how long my career would be. I mean, fortunately enough, it was really long. But, you know, that's part of my basketball history, so that's why I kept it.
Well, and Kendall, you're part of Illinois history, one of two guys in the modern era that's been drafted in the top 10. And we might have another one on Tuesday night with Keaton Walker. So I want to ask you about him. But you are part of where this was kind of normal for Illinois in the 90s and 80s to get drafted that high. Derek Harper, Ken Norman, Nick Anderson, Kenny Battle, yourself, all going first round. And you know, you had a lot of guys go second round as well in that stretch. So, I mean, the expectation was for Illinois players to get drafted. What did you learn from those guys before you, whether it was Kenny or Nick or some Ken Norman that went before you? What would you learn from those guys about what it takes to get there?
Belief that it can be done. You know, I watched Ken Norman as a freshman. He was a senior, and I watched how, you know, he conducted himself, how hard he worked in the weight room. And back then the weight room was underneath Memorial Stadium. You know, we used to run in the summer times on the Memorial Stadium field, and me watching Kenny, how hard he played. Also, Doug Altenberger, who was, I believe, drafted in the second round by the Bulls, if I'm correct. But the way that both of those guys played their senior years and conducted themselves and how hard they played and how much work they put in, you know, it's just a blueprint for the guys to follow. Like you just mentioned, Kenny Battle, Nick Anderson, myself, Marcus Liberty, Steve Bardo. We followed the blueprint, and you know, that's how we were able to get there as well.
Well, this will be four first round picks for Illinois in 3 years. Kendall, feels like the NBA factory is back in Champaign. Obviously, Io should have been a first round draft pick. He's proven that to himself.
Yeah, he should have been.
But what's it like for you to see Illinois back to that? And what do you think Brad has done to lead Illinois back to that?
Well, it's been great, because for a long time there, you know, I can remember, you know, driving down the street and listening to sports talk radio here in Chicago, and they're saying, well, Illinois is now a mid-major program. You know, that kind of hurt, you know, because we were not getting in the tournament. We were not producing NBA draft picks. And, you know, and that's something that we had done in the past. So, you know, to have your school, your alma mater, looked upon as what it really wasn't, you know, was disturbing. But, you know, Brad comes along and, you know, first was Io. The way that Io, I think, really was the start of bringing back NBA caliber players to the program. And then, you know, Terrence Shannon and, you know, now Keaton Wagler. You know, it's Brad has done a great job of attracting NBA talent, you know, to the program. And, you know, the recruiting process that he's done, you know, I think that a lot of top players who wouldn't have looked at Illinois first now look at them, you know, as one of their top three or four or five schools. You know, that wasn't the case, you know, before Brad got there, you know. And, you know, I think he's done a great job, and hopefully, you know, he can continue to produce, you know, the long successive line of NBA players that once came out of Illinois. I mean, he's doing it now, like you just mentioned. In the past, what, 4 years, he's had four draft picks, or 4 or 5 years, he's had four first-round draft picks in Iowa, which you said should have been a first-round draft pick.
Yeah. Well, Kendall Keaton, under the radar recruit, kind of like yourself. Now his ascent was insane. But what did you make of his year? What do you make of him as an NBA prospect?
I thought he had a great year, of course. I mean, you know, coming in as a freshman, being all Big Ten, being making the All-American team and things like that, you got to have a great year. So, you know, what I was most impressed by was his poise. As a young 18, 19 year old coming in, the way that he was able to deal with the pressure of college basketball. And what I tell people this, the biggest reason why he was successful is because he knows his game. Okay. He doesn't blow you away with his athleticism. He doesn't blow you away with his speed, but he has great footwork. He knows how to operate in ball screens, which Brad is very heavy on. He knows how to get into the paint, either spray the ball or use his 6'6 frame and his footwork to get baskets. That's what he does. He knows how to get downhill. And when a player knows their game, they just repeat it over and over and over and over again. And that's what he did throughout the whole season. I mean, he didn't come up with any new moves throughout the season. He just kept repeating what he was doing and what was making him successful. Another thing, too, is that he can really shoot the basketball. You know, he can shoot the basketball with range. So it makes it really, really hard to defend against him. The only way really to defend against Keaton is if you put a big – athletic, long rangy defender on him, you know, and even that doesn't work sometimes. I mean, you got to throw multiple guys at him. That's what UConn did, you know, and, you know, I was at the that Final Four game, and, you know, I'm watching off camera and watching body language and things like that. You know, you could tell he was just worn down. He was tired, you know, and still, even then, he still had a little left in the tank at the end to knock down some shots and make the game closer. But, you know, I think that, you know, in the future, he's going to overcome those things. He's going to get stronger. His conditioning is going to get a lot better in the NBA. So, you know, he's going to be able to deal with the pressure that UConn-type pressure that they put on him in the Final Four.
Kendall, you mentioned it. Like, he's got to get stronger. He's not as physically developed coming into the league at 19 as most of these kids are nowadays. Yeah. But what are his challenges? I mean, he's not as fast as Acuff or Flemings or some of these other guards, but he's longer, more consistent shooter. So what's the key to him having success and reaching his ceiling in the NBA?
I think the key to Keaton is to watch as much Jalen Brunson as possible, because in my opinion, Keaton is just a taller Jalen Brunson. You know, you look at Jalen Brunson, he's not going to jump over you and dunk. He doesn't have a 40-inch vertical jump. He's not, you know, lightning fast. But as I mentioned before, he knows his game. He has elite footwork. He knows how to put that shoulder into bigger players and score in the paint. And if he can master his game like that, he's going to be just fine. You know, you're not going to have to – because naturally he's going to get stronger. He already has the poise. He already has the IQ. So, you know, you add the footwork and also the experience of the NBA. Like, 1 or 2 years in the league, he's going to be a great player.
Yeah, and what is it about Brad? I mean, some of these guys, Io came into the league, had success right away. Terrence, we've seen playing time's not consistent on a great team like Minnesota, but he's made splashes when he's been in. And even Will Riley last year and KJ had some nice moments as rookies. So is there something about Illinois that's preparing these guys, or do you think it's just these talents?
I think it's talent, but also a combination of toughness. You know, you look at all those guys that you just mentioned, all of them are tough mentally. And, you know, that's the way we were before. That's the way we were in the 90s. That's the way we were in the 80s. All of the guys that came out of Illinois were just tough mental guys. You know, and I hear Brad use this expression all the time. He's nasty. This, you know, but that's the way we were, you know, and that's the way that we still are. I mean, I look at Keaton and, you know, as a player, as I am and as other guys are, you got to look at the different nuances that tough players do. You know, one of the things that I saw Keaton do a lot is when guys would guard him and they would try to hand check him, he would immediately knock their hands off of him. You know, little things like that that the normal fan doesn't see, you know, that lets you know that this guy has it. You know, and that's one of the things that I noticed. You know, just tough. I mean, I can remember the game at Purdue. You know, he comes out, he has a big first half. I'm like, okay, now if he comes out and he has a second half like this, he's the real deal, especially at Purdue, where that Purdue is one of the toughest places I've had to play. I don't even really know whether I ever won at Purdue throughout my whole tenure at Illinois. You know?
And I tell you, Kendall, I wasn't there when you played, but the last couple of years, that's overtaken Indiana to me is the toughest place to play in the Big Ten.
Yeah, now see, I won in Indiana, but you know, I can remember those victories. But you know, actually, I remember winning the Big Ten scoring title at Indiana. It was a tough place, but Purdue is, man, you know, I can remember those games where Gene Katie was, you know, walking around, steam blowing out of his nose and things like that. But when Keaton did what he did at Purdue, I'm like, okay, this kid's the real deal. You know, that's when I said, okay, he could possibly be a one and done guy.
Sure. The other guy that's got a chance here, Kendall, and whether he's drafted in the second round or an undrafted free agent like Kylan Boswell, has a harder path to the NBA. So what is the key when you saw these guys coming as late second round picks or free agents? What happened with the guys that were able to stick in the league?
Well, what the one thing Kylan has to do, and I think before he broke his thumb, if I'm correct, that he was having a great year, great senior year, but the thing is with Kylan, he has to find the right team with the right fit that can utilize all of his assets. I mean, I think he's a great defender. I think that he can really run a basketball team, be your second ball handler on the floor, much like he was at Illinois. Needs a little bit of improvement on his outside shot, but you know what? 1,000 shots a day will solve that. You know, you heard in the draft. Clip that you showed me getting drafted where they questioned my outside shot. But, you know, that's, you know, I knocked down jump shots all throughout my career. So, that you know, all you got to do is get in and you got to put the work in each and every day, be consistent, and you'll become a consistent outside shooter. And, yes, Kylan does have a tougher path. But, you know, hopefully he is drafted in the second round. But if he is not, if you have an agent that – finds a team that can utilize your skills where you are a great fit. You know, I think that Kylan does have a bright future. We just have to see what happens where he lands.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, Kendall, really appreciate the time. I got to ask you about the Bulls. We have hope once they made the leap in the lottery here, going to number four. It's obviously a clean slate with a new GM, new front office, and mostly going to be a new roster here. So they got pick 4 and 15. What are you hoping for on Tuesday night for the Chicago Bulls?
Well, I think that they made a great decision in hiring Thiago Splitter as the coach. You know, NBA championship experience, experience overseas coaching. Also, had a couple stints as an assistant coach in the NBA, and then what he did with Portland last year, taking over for Chauncey Billups and getting that team to the playoffs was phenomenal. With similar players to what the Bulls have. But at four, I'm hoping that Caleb Wilson is there. I'm hoping that there are no surprises whatsoever. I think that Caleb Wilson reminds me a lot of my former teammate, Sean Kemp. You know, finishes really well at the basket, 6'9", 6'10", is going to be able to develop that outside shot. Now, here's the caveat. After we get four, I'm hoping that the Bulls trade up, package 15, maybe another second round pick and perhaps a player to move up in the top 10. And as much as I hate Michigan, okay, they move up in the top 10 and they draft a Damara because that kid can really play.
What do you like about him as a big? He's different.
Yeah, he's different. 7'2", and you know, he has all the intangibles. I watched him when they came to us this past year. Watched him in the Final Four in person, and he has the ability to make everybody else better around him. Now, because not only can he score, and you know, in the NBA now, big men they don't really play with their back to the basket. He has the ability to play with his back to the basket. He can knock down shots mid range. And I love the way that he can really put the ball in places for his teammates to score. So if you draft him, then you solidified your front court for the next, I don't know, 5 to 10 years. If you keep those guys together. Also, and I've talked about this on the radio before, I know it's going to take a lot of money. I know Minnesota holds his birds rights, but I go back and I try and re-sign Io.
Can I tell you, I'm glad you mentioned that, and I'm glad you posted about it on social media, Kendall, because I was talking to an Illini staffer. I'm like, I don't know why the Bulls wouldn't overpay. That is a great adult to have in the room. I think he's getting better. I think he's a starting guard. That's what a great player to have as a foundation piece as you bring in all this young talent.
No, he's proven. And, you know, I think I went into a slight 3-day depression when they when they traded Io, because not only is he an Illini, but he's a Chicagoan, and he's a very, very productive player that the Bulls developed. And then, you know, you trade that asset that you developed away. I mean, I understand what they were trying to do, okay? You know, but, you know, now that you have an opportunity to perhaps get one of the better young players in the league back, I mean, and look at what Io did in the playoffs. You know, I mean, I would love to have him back, and I know that he's open to coming back if the money is right, you know. But I think if you can do that, draft those two players, get a player like Io back, then you're not too far away.
You mentioned Adai Mara. I wouldn't mind Merez Johnson either. I think you'd probably have to trade up to get him, but I do like the potential building out that front court. Speaking of Michigan, Kendall, I don't know if you saw it, by the way, Dusty May leaving for the Dallas Mavericks. So Michigan having some change, and I can't blame Dusty for taking a job with Cooper Flagg.
Right. Yeah. Well, listen, he won a championship at Michigan. Really doesn't have anything else to prove now. You know, he moves to Dallas and, you know, with a great rookie in Cooper Flagg and a foundational player, they can do some special things down there. I think that, you know, Dusty has been known as a player's coach. That's exactly what is needed in the NBA now. And I think it's a great move for him. Now, let's because this is 3 consecutive moves in 3 consecutive years, right? We got to see how long he's in Dallas.
Well, before I let you go, Kendall, what was it like being at the Final Four with your alma mater back on that stage?
It was great to be there. It was great to see how well we traveled, because I thought we had the most fans in Lucas Oil Stadium, you know. And you know, it was great to see all my old teammates. Great to see Darren Williams and D. Brown and all the old Illini legends. And you know, also it marked that Illinois is back. You know, they are a powerhouse in college basketball. So, and I think that's just a culmination of all of the work that Brad has done to rebuild the program. And, you know, when Brad was hired, you know, I told my wife this. I said, he's going to be around for a while. He's not one of these guys that this is going to be like a spot where he stays for a couple of years, then leaves. You know, and I think that's the reason why Illinois has gotten back to the elite level is because we had a coach and a coaching staff that's been around for what, 8, 9? Is this Brad's 10th year?
It's gonna be his 10th year. Kendall, I keep comparing it to very different people, different approaches, but like he's building a Lou-like legacy here, right? You finally have somebody that's been here that long time and continuing that success and continues to build on it.
Right, and that's what you need in order to build a program. You need a guy that believes in the program, that believes in the community, the school, a guy that is going to be there, you know, and that's how you build success. And Brad just proved it again, just like Lou Henson.
Well, Kendall Gill, I really appreciate the time. Enjoy the draft, and we'll catch up. Well, you got your golf outing coming up later this summer.
So golf outing coming up on the 13th of July, so I'll see you guys down there.
All right, great stuff from Kendall Gill. Really appreciate his time. awesome to get in the line. A great NBA longtime player. You can check him out on CHSN as well. But also Kendall, the golf outing he's done was 36, 37 years now at the Orange and Blue Golf Course. That's July 13th. You can search it. Go to the internet, Kendall Gill Golf Outing. Please participate in that. Support that event. It's been awesome that Kendall and his family have come back to this community ever since I think he started this the year he graduated. So he's been coming back for almost four decades now to get back to the community, the Cunningham Children's Home. So if you have a way to support that, I definitely encourage it. Brad Underwood shows up every year. Kendall obviously shows up with his family every year. So you get a chance to meet those guys and support a great cause. So go check that out. Kendall Gill Golf Outing, July 13th at the Orange and Blue Course in Savoy. Appreciate Kendall and his time. Appreciate you guys watching the Illini Choir podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. On the audio side, hit the like button, subscribe wherever you find us here on the YouTube channel. That really, really helps us out. I'm going to have plenty here from New York City. Going to write about what this moment's like for Keaton and his family on NBA Draft Eve heading into tomorrow's big night. And I'll have coverage from Barclays Center on Tuesday night to see where Keaton is going and what this means for the Illini program to have a lottery pick, a one and done, potentially a top five pick as well. I'll try to catch up with Brad Underwood tomorrow about all of that. But for Kendall Gill, I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Choir podcast.
Bye, everybody.